All right, you heard part one last week with Glenn. It did very well. Thank you for that. A lot of great feedback. Part two is, I think, I have to admit, I wasn't going to say this last week, even better. Put it this way. It's what I like best. It is testy. We get into it over the incident, the station incident, that got pretty ugly. Glenn had his thoughts. I had mine. We fought about it on the phone a couple nights after, and basically we just recreate this conversation for you guys, almost verbatim. Glenn was really pissed. I was really pissed. There's other good stuff as well. This is a good closer to the two-parter with Glenn Ordway. I think you're going to enjoy this one. Enough about me. Part two, Glenn Ordway. Perfect scenario. You could pick one more big show to do. You could have your two favorite guests and your whatever, your two guys, your sidekick. Big show. Any two you could ever pick. Who would it be? Then we're on the show.
That's hard to say because want an easy answer,
Jesus
and you're
I mean,
simple.
What are we
you're a simple person, and I get that, but it depends on what was happening at the time because
the show was
so built for what was happening.
You come back tomorrow. You can only do one more. You have 4 hours.
I think that's very hard to do.
Oh, Clem, what the fuck? I mean, what are we doing here? Just say two names.
It's very hard to do because it depends on what was. But the show was built. The show wasn't built for. I know you can do it because you're just more talented than anybody else on the planet.
You can
take whatever's going on in the world that day.
I hope you've learned something from watching me.
I'm trying to.
Good.
I've been taking notes.
Right.
And then you put people in the studio and you think that you can just make a jive. A lot of it had to do with what was going on. I mean,
we had
117 co-hosts in that show.
I'm sure.
Over the years.
Yeah. But, we had great chemistry. When you said, okay, there were days where I would listen to the show.
Sometimes chemistry was not the greatest thing.
If
you can get Felger and Sean McAdam in a studio and you knew that there was some friction there, getting back to the uncomfortable radio, that was much better. You didn't want two guys to kiss. Oh, they went at it numerous times.
Right, I remember that.
Tony Maz and Buck one time going at it was perfect.
But wasn't so much of it. Don't you think? We've talked about this. You're definitely one of those guys. I think I am. Jerry for sure is. I don't know about the guys you work with so much. I haven't worked with them that much. Lou, a little bit. Dale, I don't think, is like this. It's important, I think, almost essential to do what we want to do, to sit there and motherfuck each other and really be mad in the life of the segment, and then the red light goes off and it's okay.
Yeah, but don't you do that with friends when you're sitting around
Absolutely,
a bar?
Of course.
You're sitting around
But
the
you've
house.
Worked with guys where I'm guessing that's not...
Yeah,
I mean, Shaughnessy's one of them for sure.
Shaughnessy
gets all pissy.
No, Dan is one of those guys that can deal it out, but he might be the most sensitive guy I've known over the years. He's still pissed off about the Shank thing. The problem with the Shank, Monica, was that athletes were doing that. Larry Bird was doing that to him. Hey, Shank! Mikhail Parrish, that just burned him. Well, if you're going to throw out nicknames and you're going to throw out stuff for other people, you got to be able to accept it. I think you've got to have thick skin in this business. They're going to rip you apart. Anytime you make an opinion on the radio, there are a lot of people that are going to sit there and say you're a complete asshole or you're stupid, you're an idiot. All it is they have a different opinion than you. But they're the genius and you're the asshole.
Right.
So, but you just have to accept it. If you don't, you don't make it in this business.
No, I think Jerry's great at that.
Jerry's terrific.
That's one thing I learned sitting next to him was like, okay, well, he doesn't give a shit. I can say, and you've heard some of the things I've said to Jerry over the years. He literally, we have been mad at each other one time.
Right.
In 4 years. Right. And that's it. I mean, we obviously have conspired to get somebody fired together, which is
important. Did, and it was successful.
I'm talking sausage.
I think it was somebody else. I'm thinking Miramar Lakes, Florida.
I'll be there next week.
This time of the year. Are you going to have a little visit?
We're trying to get him on. I don't know if he's going to come on. You know me. I want to have him on for sure.
He's
not going to come on.
I think he hates you now.
He definitely hates me.
He's still blocked on Twitter?
I'm blocked on Twitter.
He hates you.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, if that's
you like being hated. You think of it as a badge of honor.
I'm not. Jerry always says that I'm most comfortable when people hate me. That's not really necessarily true, but it's not the end of the world. Like, what are you going to do? Dan Shaughnessy hates me. Like, he has no impact in my day-to-day life. So I go to Comcast, and it's uncomfortable for 12 minutes.
You know what? I think, I could charge you a lot less than your shrink and really could make real improvement with this. I think that your attitude and your approach to radio is the perfect one, okay?
You don't give
a shit, and you're going to go and you're going to say it, and you know that there will be ramifications.
It sucks sometimes.
Right?
It's not fun.
You know that. You know it.
Right.
But I also think there's a heart somewhere in that little skinny frame of yours that you get a little sensitive when you get outside the hallway and you're sitting there going, geez, I pissed them off and I did what I had to do for my job for the show. Because I always think in radio, if you're going to approach this and you're going to latch onto a show and you're going to have your name attached to it, everything must be for that show to the point where you can't worry about feelings and everything else. But I do think, and I have some of that as well, so it's a kind of a joint thing. We have, when you get in the hallway, you feel a little bad.
Sometimes I feel bad, but sometimes I don't. You're right. But
yeah, with John, you didn't give a shit about John.
Well, it's just human nature. I mean, you know, but you are right about this. It is funny. I didn't care any less 9 months ago or a year ago, but it is a weird thing when your name is actually on the show. I don't know why, because I mean, I was just as involved in the show as a year ago as I am now. I mean, but I don't know what changes. It's weird. I'm not sure what that is, but you feel territorial about it.
Yeah. Well,
suddenly it just becomes, and I do feel like you graduate a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think you get, you know, you get a competitive juices flowing when you hear people say, you know, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. I mean, you guys are doing great right now. In the latest weeklies, you guys are number one in Morning Drive. So,
right.
And the funny thing is the people in this marketplace don't understand how the ratings work. The critics don't understand how the ratings work. We've really become a dominant radio station from 35 to 64. So to win at 25 to 54 is really something, because the other station got a 2-year lift over us. I say us because I was gone shortly after that, but on FM.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back to the Globe when that whole thing happened, when we made the switch over to FM, and the Globe is writing pieces about 81% of people listen solely to FM. 19% of the population has never listened to an AM radio station. And we're sitting here taking 19% saying, hey, come on and join us on 850.
Right.
You know? So I think...
I'd agree that's mistake one, if you want to rank the mistakes.
Not even close.
What's mistake two, though?
The money they spent for the Red Sox, I think, probably was a little too much. At the time, it was a must-do because they were so hot, so popular. It was a 10-year deal. By the end of that contract, you were paying far more than most baseball teams were paying for the rights fees for television across the Major League Baseball. But I think there's no number two behind number one.
A lot of people say to me, letting Felger walk out the door.
They had an opportunity, by the way, to hold on to him.
I know that.
And they, again, they cheapened out. They really throw a low ball offer at Felger because we wanted Felger. I wanted Felger. You know, I did. I thought Felger was one of the best guys
I had.
What
was his role going to be?
On that show. He was going to be kind of the fill-in guy, but I think it would have been a perfect thing for Michael because he went off to the hinterlands in a small AM station that nobody was listening to. But he was smart. He went over there to learn his craft.
He
told me before
he
said it to me. He told me, I'm going to learn my craft, and hopefully I can come back and do what you do.
Right.
And, you know, he was aggressive, go-getter, smart, knew what he was doing, and... They had an opportunity to hold on to him when they brought him back for WEEI.com.
I remember I was working with him.
Yeah. And if he had done stuff, if they had paid him a little bit more money and he was doing some weekend stuff, they would have found out pretty quickly he could replace somebody. Who knows? Maybe he would have replaced me here.
Maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Right.
So we might as well get to it now. We're wrapping up here. So you and I, obviously, I think, I don't know if we were close friends, but I'd say we've been pretty good friends for the last few years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, minus the sex, I would say. Yeah,
I mean, I would say you count on me as your best friend in a lot of ways.
I would say that's probably an overestimate of what you were, but no, I said
this. Do you miss not talking to me? Do you miss the fact that it's uncomfortable now a little bit?
It's not uncomfortable
It is a little bit for you. It was for a while.
It's not uncomfortable.
For the first few months, it wasn't uncomfortable.
Because I'll argue this point because I think I was right in the day that I tried to be a friend.
We'll get to that in a second. You won't answer anything.
I answered everything for you.
No,
what else do you want? Why don't you do these things in multiple choice so you can get the answer you want?
I'm saying... For the first few months after the incident, it was obviously icy.
No, I felt I would say this. I didn't lose any respect for you. I thought that you were doing what you had to do to kind of protect your show, and you like battles.
Doing what? I don't know.
You like battles.
What do you mean doing what to protect my show?
You were creating a battle between the Morning Drive and Midday. That's what you do. You create them between Morning Drive and Afternoon Drive.
Right.
That's what you do.
Well, didn't you do that?
Yes. I made a career of it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what we do.
And so you had finally admitted you've copied everything that I've done in my career.
Well, I never... I mean,
other than you never get fat.
I mean, I can't, you know, bring Johnny Most back to life and stab him in the back. Short of that...
I didn't stab him in the back.
Oh, fucking
what are you talking about? I ran a company with him. We had a big company that we ran for 5 years.
As a matter of fact,
yes.
One of those those birthday greetings was to Kirk Minahan.
Do you got one of those?
That is true.
Wow.
Yes.
Did you play it over
kicks
the last over, couple months kick, when you missed me?
It over to Kirk Minahan.
Play it?
DJ? What, Stop and Pop? No, what was it? It was
one of those.
Yeah, one of those.
We had like five different scripts, so yours was one of five. Maybe one of ten because we changed them after a while.
Did you like him?
Johnny Most?
Yeah.
I liked him. He was very unique, and he was the mold is broken. I mean, you know why.
Right.
I mean, he had a shtick, and I'm using that word again, like you, and it was so good because it was theater. It was the good guys against the bad right. guys and the white hats and right. the black hats. But
where did he grow up?
New York.
New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
He grew up in Brooklyn, I think, or right. Bronx. Marty Glickman kind of got him into the business.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. yes, yeah, right.
And... But he was a fascinating guy, but insecure. You talk about the most insecure guy I had ever worked with. When I first came aboard, I came aboard because he was having people fill in every year at the playoffs because he'd lose his voice.
His voice, right.
And so he had Guy Manila filling in. He had Bob LaBelle filling right. in. So finally, when they came over to RKO, they had Rick Weitzman, who was doing the games, mm-hmm. a former player, but he was a school teacher, couldn't do the road games.
Right.
And
he was a scout, too, wasn't he?
Yes, and later on became a scout. Yeah. And what Weitzman did is he had to do play-by-play on a road trip one time, and it was a complete disaster because, unfortunately, Rick wasn't right. trained to do play-by-play.
Where are you at this point?
I had done college play-by-play. I had done a bunch of play-by-play. Yeah. So I was trained. They knew I could do play-by-play.
What are you doing for a job?
I was out of the Bruins gig. I did the Bruins for 2 years.
That, yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know. I was a hockey guy.
Sure.
And I was hired as a hockey guy. I was an analyst.
Get your bona fides out. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah. There you go. Credibility.
Tony Maserati hates hockey, right?
Huh? He hated hockey.
Yes. Okay.
He hated hockey until it worked for him
course,
at 98.5,
right.
and then suddenly he became.
Listen to him now.
He became the hockey guru.
Yeah, him now,
you know?
The defensive
yeah.
parent.
Yeah, right.
Like, shut the fuck.
Hockey
up.
Hockey Krishner. Yeah, he became that guy, and he hated it when we talked about it at the big show.
He'd say to you during the break, "Stop talking.
Stop
about
talking
it,
right? about
yeah.
it."
Yeah. You should bring that more often.
We,
I, like when you
I think,
that.
Have a hidden tape somewhere that we should probably bring out.
Would you? Oh, so you'd be willing to play?
I've heard
tape
that. I've heard that the tape is available. Somebody has told me the tape is available. I'm still waiting.
So hidden tapes are okay to play.
But
it's on your show.
Yeah, not in your show.
Okay, just want to get that clear. So we'll get back to that second. So you start working with Most in what year?
The first year I did it was 81.
So the title
was the year after the championship.
So,
year. So they what they did was they put me on the beat. I had Johnny Busick. They had retired. They found a job for Johnny Busick, which was my job in the radio booth.
Right.
I really had no problem with that because I could understand this is one of the great players.
Right.
It makes sense. It's a perfect marriage.
Not the Bruins. The Celtics.
Yeah, so the Celtics the next year.
Yeah.
They were going from BZ to RKO.
Right.
I was hired by RKO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so Johnny Most got sick that first year, that championship year, that 80-81 season,
yep.
and then he got sick the next year. So midway in that season, in the 81-82 season,
they lost the Sixers. Yeah,
right. They put me on the beat, and they had me do the games with Johnny, and he was so insecure, and he was afraid this young whippersnapper is going to take his gig, and so. You know, and it was rough at the beginning. He had to, you know, shut me off and stuff like that. And one night I finally said, you know, we're on the road. I said, you know, let's go out to a bar and let's go drink and try to have this thing out.
Yeah.
And he and I had it out.
Right.
And I finally said to him, listen, they're putting me on this beat because for the first time, they're doing pregame shows and postgame shows and all these drops. This is all new shit now that they weren't doing. The old days, it used to be just play-by-play.
Game, right.
And now you got to do all this. Johnny, I'm going to save your... Not save your career, but extend your career.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to get your job. I'd be a fool as this young guy to try to push you out and get your job because people would hate me. It'd make no sense at all.
Yeah.
No.
He was all right with that?
And then we suddenly were fine.
Right.
And
yeah.
we suddenly
How many
fine.
Years more did you do? 7 or 8 more years after that?
We did, we did 7 years together and I did 7 years after him. But he was still working partially. We would bring him in the fourth quarter. He was really sick and lost, you know, both limbs and they. You know, it was really sad.
I mean, it ended. I mean, were you friends with him until the end? Or
yeah.
No? Yeah.
And it was really, really sad. But he was insecure. He would never be one of these guys to fight to try to get an extra dollar in negotiation, whatever they gave him, he would take. He was always fearful. We had Doug Brown. You remember Doug Brown?
I remember Doug Brown,
Still works at ESPN. He came on to fill
that.
In and do some games with us. Johnny never spoke with him. I don't think Johnny has ever had a conversation with Doug. And Doug might have done 15 games with us.
Jesus.
Johnny wouldn't talk with him. So he's very insecure. But there are a lot of guys in
play-by-play, I think, is a different animal. They're super insecure people. I'm not sure what that's about. But it's a different crowd. I think they think that they can be replaced in any second. Even like, I mean, there's a reason why Vince Scully at 90 years old is doing baseball games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's, you know.
Chick Hearn did it till he was 90.
I mean, I'm sure if Johnny Most had been healthy, he would have done it as long as he could.
Absolutely.
Have, right?
His father lived till he was 93.
Yeah.
Johnny died at 69.
But there's this perception out there that you stabbed him in the back.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the great Johnny Most, he's there for 37 years, Kirk.
Right.
Suddenly he's, I hate to say it, but health stabbed him in the back. Well,
I understand, but the perception is that you did it.
But
or the running joke.
But I would say this, and Joe Fitzgerald wrote an article one time that really pissed me off at the Boston Herald, because Joe just thinks, you know, he's Mr. Cleaver, I mean, Mr. Beaver's father.
Yeah, he does all these calls, right.
Oh, and it, you
I'm
know,
not a big fan.
And he was totally wrong. And he was saying that, you know, I was pushing Johnny out. I was pushing Johnny in a wheelchair, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad for what was going on with him. I really did. Now, you know, it's a different era of broadcasting, so I looked at the broadcasting much different than he did.
Did it drive you crazy sometimes?
Yeah, because he would never study. Johnny would show up.
I feel like he studied in that trip to the international games. It felt like he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Obradovich.
But Johnny would show up at the Garden, and there were nights he didn't even realize who was playing in the game. But I'm telling you, he had the formula in his head.
Did he know who the ninth guy is on the Pistons?
Yes. And he would have the formula built up in his head. So he'd watch the guys. He'd get out to the court. He'd sit out there up with us. And in 15 minutes, he's looking out at the car. I got that guy. I got that guy. That's Mahorn. I hate him. And he would go through it. And then he would, in his mind, he would sit there and say, I hate that guy. That guy, I don't like the way he looks. I'm gonna pick on him tonight. Right. He would have the formula down.
Jerry's Callahan story is the first time he ever met him was in the 84 playoffs in L.A. He then went upstairs to the hotel with him. Johnny was in the next room. He said Johnny's hearing was not great.
Not great.
And he said he could hear the pornography from the next room, from Johnny's room, blasting the whole weekend.
Yeah. One of my great remembrances of Johnny is checking out at the hotel when they're charging you for like 3 Spankovision movies.
Right.
Remember the old Spankovision?
Oh, of course I do, yeah.
And Johnny would yell about that too, because he couldn't hear himself, so he talked really loud, and he would scream at the clerk in the other counter, and the players, you know, Parrish and DJ, and they were all huddled up, and Parrish would go over to the woman on the other side of the counter and say, could you tell me what movie that was? I'll tell you whether he watched it or not.
Right.
And then they couldn't obviously tell you the movies, but yeah, Johnny was into, you know.
Does it bother you all these years later, like what we know about Parrish now? Did you know about it then or no?
No. No, I knew about it.
People would handle it differently then than they would now, right?
Much different. Nobody advertised that. Nobody talked about it. Media didn't talk about it. If it happened, it was something that was swept under the rug. It's a different world now. I think we heard about it, I want to say, shortly after that trip. It was the Marriott out at the airport. We used to stay at Marriott's
in
the
LA,
airport.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it happened. I remember hearing about it shortly after that.
Yeah.
Not good.
Definitely not. All right, back to where we were before.
Okay.
So what were you saying? You were saying something about me or something, or I have a heart. I forget.
I said I think sometimes you do a good job of presenting radio. That's what you're supposed to do. You're an entertainer in there. Okay,
yes.
You know Howard Stern.
Much like Rich Keefe,
even though you're trying
right
to copy. Yeah, even though you're trying to copy.
I hear that all the time. I don't think that's
well,
true.
You do. Come on.
I've certainly learned some elements from him, but I don't copy him. I mean,
everybody's career is picking up a little bit of everything. Right. I get a little bit of Marty Glickman, a little bit of Kurt Gowdy, a little bit of Johnny Moe. You steal a little bit of everything.
Sure,
okay?
No question.
Right. So you've done that, okay? That,
a little bit of John Rook for me, yeah.
John Rook, I think, and I hear the Rook come through every once in a while.
Yes.
I heard it today.
Yes.
Boring.
Yes.
No, it's great.
Yes.
So
I like John.
Yeah. So what was your point? Oh, so you've won the hallway.
So obviously,
and I think you care.
Obviously, there was an incident a few months ago.
You and Fourier.
Yes, Fourier and I. We played some sound on the air, which I didn't realize. I thought that was like live on the air. I didn't realize we were even doing something wrong at the time.
Such
we
a did it. Fucking
what?
Liar.
What do you mean? I didn't think it was.
You
but
are
it,
such.
But you would at least admit this. At least admit this. If you guys did that to us, I really wouldn't be pissed off.
No,
I would say, oh, okay, you know, good move.
Oh,
good for you.
Please.
I would. And I'd go on the air and bitch about it. I would not have the program director walk me into the studio.
I will tell you this.
You got to grant me that.
I'll grant you some of that. I think you would have found a way of sticking it to us.
Absolutely.
You know, hidden microphone in the office.
No question.
Or something. You would have done something.
That's what I was. That
dirty.
Honestly, Glenn, is what I was anticipating. I thought you guys would do something to us, and then away we go.
Well, we did. We're playing it tomorrow.
Excellent.
We got it recorded. We
go for it.
I think
Christian's a great
but Christian's different when it comes to this stuff. He obviously is not a radio. Hasn't you know he's developed in radio, but he wasn't a radio professional. So he was looking at it as an ex-athlete. Well, you've been in it longer than
right. I know, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, you have a different approach to it. He's an ex-athlete who's you know moved into a new career. I think he was sensitive, a lot more sensitive to it. And as I told you on the phone that night, which has led to you being pissed at me, and
I wasn't thrilled with you that night. You were not great on the phone that night. You
I think I was. I think I was nah. not only okay because I didn't kiss your ass.
No, that's
and
not.
That's
it,
what Kirk Minahan wanted.
No,
you wanted
you
me
called,
to kiss your ass.
You called and you kind of did this thing where like you're going to tell me how to do things. Like this is you know.
No,
you
should, I did.
Yes, you did.
No,
and I
did.
Jumped in
no,
right away.
No, that's the way you interpret
no,
it. Because
that's
anybody
not.
That's been on the planet longer
no.
than you and knows more than you.
No.
Anytime they try
You've
to lecture you,
longer
you know. You know more. You know. Well, maybe
you did this thing.
Maybe this is your second trip.
You handled like this, and I'm like, as I said, I don't need to hear that. You know, that's we're past that fucking.
That's your facts. All right, let me give
that's
you
my what?
Your facts. Let me give you my facts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alternative
because
facts.
You said to me, you know, how do you think it was handled? And I said to you, I don't blame you for being a little upset that Fourier kind of got pissed off, and he's a bigger guy than you, mm-hmm. and I know you're a little, you know, wimp, and that he, you know, but I said to you, I didn't see any contact. You said, come on, there was contact. I said, there might have been,
right.
Kirk, but I did not see any contact.
No, it would, no. That's not where I got mad. Where I got mad was you said that I was like going after Fourier to attack him, like I was going to physically attack
no,
him.
No, here's what I said. To
which
you. I said, no, wait a minute.
You said 30 seconds ago, that's fucking insane. I'm not going to do that.
No. I said to you, I said, I think, first of all, mm-hmm. that I think the thing could have been corrected. We could have got involved in the being the bridge here, the liaison
Who?
To get. You went down the hallway to human resources.
Absolutely, I would do it again in 2 seconds. That's a
these
work
are,
environment situation.
Oh, come on, these are
what is what
you're
absolutely
grown adult.
Is.
We're male men here. We can handle it.
Correct.
I think
correct.
All
no,
of us
we,
could
we,
have handled
handle
but
it.
But here's where I said
it,
you were wrong.
You handle it in the studio. You
here's where I said you were
that's
wrong.
Where you handle it.
Here's where I said you were wrong because this is where it escalated and where Fourier kind of leaped at you.
And by the way, the program director. The idea that I went to management. Management was standing between the two of us. The program director.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
who then
he,
brought
I don't
me,
think he had the title.
Who then
yet,
brought
right?
me there. I mean, this is not, you know, this is what happens.
Okay, but it's kind of a little douchey thing to do to run down to human resources.
Well, that you're in a workplace. Again, if you want to talk about it in the air and get shit out and fire back, that's where
okay,
you do it.
Okay, so.
I mean, that's
you,
a no-brainer to me.
Okay, but he was not going to hit you.
Okay,
I didn't
that's
he
your,
was gonna,
again, that's your interpretation.
Okay, because I know him. And I just don't think he was going to do it. I think he was playing the tough guy. I'm bigger than you. I'll pound my chest out here. And he was wrong.
Okay.
And I told him he was wrong.
Right.
Okay.
So my job.
This
is now,
where
my,
I was fair.
My job is
I told
now,
him where he was wrong.
My job
wrong.
Is now
I told
to
you
me
where
he's
wrong.
Thinking in the hallway during that. I'm supposed to be thinking, oh, he's playing a tough guy. He's not going to hit me.
Yeah, but you're a perceptive guy. I love it. You play dumb and you
I'm
like
not playing dumb at all. I was there.
To this.
I was there. It doesn't matter.
Okay. But here's where I thought you were wrong, and this is where I think you got pissed at me. So I said to you, I think the thing was to the point where we were separating each other, and I think it was going to be just fine. And then what you did is you said, are you going to hit me like you hit your wife? You said that to Fourier.
No, that is we can leave this in here. That is a misquote. I did not say that at all.
What did you say?
I did not say that at all.
I heard it.
I did not say, am I going to hit you like hit your wife? That is absolutely not
you
true.
You said, are you going to hit me like you hit your
Glenn,
wife?
I never said that. The reason I know I didn't say that for a fact, and as I said to Fourier in the hallway after, is during the Ray Rice story, right? We had people calling, and somebody called in and said, how come you guys allow Christian Fourier to come on your station when he hit his wife like Ray Rice hits his wife? And I was the one in the air who said, whoa, hold on. That is absolutely not what happened. And I went through the whole story. And
I'm telling you, you're fabricating right now.
No, I'm not. Glenn, your quote is wrong. What I said to him was something about, geez, whenever I read something about in the newspaper with you and domestic violence, it involves a woman, is what I said.
Okay.
But let me be clear because people listen to the podcast. Fourier to be, I hate Fourier's guts. I do, and he hates mine. That's okay. It's just the way it's going to be from now on. That is Fourier never did that. That never happened. I think actually quite the opposite. And I think when you see a headline like that, it's a shitty thing to do. And I remember when it happened.
You defended him.
I defended
him. You said to me on the phone. We had the conversation on the phone. That's why I'm kind of.
I said the Fourier. Listen, but that's a shitty thing to say because, and you can ask Fourier. I talked to him in the hallway and said that's absolutely total, like, I never said that. Okay. Now, I will say, that was at the end, what I said to him was at the end of a situation where he referenced about 40 different things to me, and like I said, did other things. So it wasn't like I kicked off this interaction with that.
Okay. Well, I heard differently than you, but
well,
I'll
sure
give you this.
You work with the guy. I get
okay.
it.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not going to suck up to him, and I'm not sucking up to you.
I mean, I'm not,
and I wasn't doing it that night, and that's what you didn't like. You thought I was taking sides, and I said to you, I'm not taking Christian's side. I already talked to Christian about this, and Christian was wrong for what he did, but you're also wrong, and you said you weren't wrong. That's what you kept saying.
I don't think I was wrong
at all.
But
the one thing you did say to me,
I did one thing wrong.
Okay, I brought up the quote to you that night. You didn't dispute it that night.
Oh, that's not true.
When I brought that quote up.
There were other people there, and there were other people involved, and they will, I hope.
But I do remember this, what you said to me.
Is that what you told other people, that I said that quote? Because that's bullshit. I never said that to you.
I think Christian heard that too. Well, and I think others heard that as well.
That is not true.
But,
that is absolutely not true.
But I do remember that night when I said that to you. I said, that's low. You can't go there. You know the story about him.
Well,
because there was a case
to,
and it wasn't
let's
his
just say
fault.
Somebody refers to you as a bitch.
And you said to me,
if somebody refers to you as a bitch 30 times or 40 times. At some point, you just can't sit there. You got to fight back.
And I agree with you. And I said,
you got to fight back. So then
you
want
right
to be selective in what I say in fighting back?
No, I did not have a problem with you dealing with what you were dealing with and you calling him names back. I thought that was a low blow.
And that night
when we talked,
no, you said to me,
I know the history. Matter of fact, you told me you defended him on the radio with that incident.
I just said that 90 seconds ago.
You said that.
And I said, I don't remember you saying that exactly. You never said to me that I said the 4A to his wife, because I would have never, ever, ever said to him, because it's bullshit. It's not true. That's totally not true.
But I wasn't taking the side because I got a kid.
Of course you
were. Because I was kissing ass with those guys.
No, but you're on the show with him. You're not on the show with him?
I'm on a show with them, but...
I understand. You made
why wouldn't I just tell the truth? Why am I
going
to sit there?
No, you have to work with them every day.
No,
I understand.
No.
I
you know what? The narrative
that.
Works better for you.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It works better for you if you can justify that Ordway took the side of those other two guys for business purposes.
I don't really blame
so
you.
You get
work
along
with them every day.
But
it's easier.
I did.
You totally
And
did.
You and I were honest that night in that phone conversation. And I said to you at the end of the conversation, I love you. And you said, I love you back. And then we hung up.
I don't remember saying
I love you. You don't remember stuff.
I don't think you've ever said you love me. Jerry hasn't either, by the way, which does bother me.
Well, he doesn't love you.
He probably doesn't.
I do, he doesn't. But you didn't want to hear any of that stuff. I get it. It was an emotional period of time.
My thing is, there is never a reason ever, ever, unless I said that about 4A in the air, unless I said, hey, 4A beats his wife, or Lou beats his wife, which would be bullshit. If you say that on the air, or I say something about kids, you can come in and fucking beat the shit out of me. That's totally fine.
Good, let me write that
but
down.
Absolutely. I would never do. Have you ever heard me make fun of somebody's wife or kids?
Other than
like Mutt, who I'm friends with, or Jerry, you don't do that to people you don't know or have a relationship with. That's different. We understand the ground rules.
Talk about screwing producers' mothers.
What we did, I happened to have sex with her.
Right.
What we did was we played some sound that your producer played, that your own producer taped.
Which
we had the sound of it.
Which Fourier took his head off for.
Great. Well, I'm sure he did.
Because he was working on your show.
Was Fourier
at the
in
time.
New York that day? Or
was he working
here
on your show. He was working on your show at the
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Right. But it's not like, honestly, I wasn't. Paul, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. Maybe somebody told Paul to do it. I have no fucking idea. I don't remember of it.
You,
I don't remember. But my point is.
Hold on.
If
you did.
I don't think I did.
According to Paul, you did.
No, maybe I did. I probably did. I don't remember doing it. So I do stuff like that all the time.
But here you go. That's what I mean.
Anyway,
you love the shit, Kirk.
But my point is,
and it works for you. It works for your personality. It works for your show.
My point is, when you do that, your reaction can't be to have some fucking hallway altercation. You walk in the studio, don't talk to me ever again, I don't give a shit, and fucking kill me on the air.
I said that to you. I said that Fourier did the wrong thing. I told Fourier.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know what Fourier did? The first thing Fourier did when he came back in like 10 minutes later in the studio, we went to a break, he apologized to both of us and said I was wrong. He knew it right off the bat.
Apologizing to you for?
Huh?
The fuck did he do to you? What's he apologizing to you for?
He was apologizing because he was making an incident out of something that should not have been an incident in which he was involving
that big a,
us.
I don't think it was that big a deal, the sound.
Well, the
yeah, the sound. Was it that big a deal?
Yeah, because
I mean,
you
and Lou were pissed, too. You were hovering over Jerry and I at our desk.
Okay, because we were having
doing?
A private conversation.
So what?
So we're having a private conversation
right.
that you're not supposed to be privy to.
The mics were
you
on.
Get, the mics were on. You record it. You play it on the air.
You got to think the mic around the mics.
I'm going to remember that. So if you have a conversation privately... Mm-hmm. okay,
right.
with Jerry.
Yes.
And you're ripping Phil Zachary.
Yes.
You're ripping Joey.
Yes.
Or you're ripping Dino. Well, Dino's
please,
old school.
Please,
that's
please,
it.
Please.
We already got that tape.
Absolutely.
And it's off the air.
Absolutely.
And it's not supposed to be on the air.
No
which
question.
Which is illegal, by the way. Illegal. Oh,
not Massachusetts.
You rolling your eyes right now.
Right.
Yes, it is. It's
no,
illegal.
We taped another state.
No,
totally
you can't. You
totally
cannot
illegal.
Tape. No.
Totally legal.
No, in Kirk's world,
talk
you
to
can
my lawyers, it's fine.
Yeah, oh, please.
Talk to the family attorney, so
please.
It's fine.
Of course.
He said it's fine.
Daddy paid for it. So if I do that to you, you would be bullshit.
Well,
you're right now you're being disingenuous.
How would I handle it?
When you tell me.
How would I handle it?
You would handle it both on the air
right.
and off the air.
How would I handle it off the air? I just want to talk to you.
No, you'd be screaming at me.
Yeah, right.
In the hallway,
right.
you'd call me every name in the book.
No, I wouldn't. You've
already called me every name in the book. You'd just repeat every name you call me in the
I think that was totally overblown. Totally overblown.
But it was, I agree. It was overblown
by us. By the way, you guys did the same shit we were playing. You guys then would play sound of stuff that you taped people off the air all the time.
No, we didn't.
Yes, you did, and we were killing you for it.
Like what?
What's his face?
I don't
fucking forget.
Tell me.
Who was it? Shit. God damn it.
Excuse me. Why don't you get that lawyer your father hired?
I forget it. We played
Maybe
it.
He would remember
we
the evidence.
Like, oh, that's... Oh! No. I know exactly what it was.
What?
Curtis and Sausage were in here taping a podcast, and they were talking beforehand, and Joey played it for Lou and Benz and Foray, and they were laughing at it.
For Benz?
Yeah, but when they were doing the show together, they taped those guys before. They didn't know they were being taped.
I'm not responsible.
They were getting ready for the podcast, and they were
did.
Laughing about it.
I want you to know that I'm not responsible.
What's amazing
for
to me about
Benz
your show
did.
Is, and your show's doing great, thanks to me, what's amazing is... Like, you know, it's always our fault. Like, Mike Giardi's our fault. Tanguay's our fault. This thing was our fault. Always with you guys.
See, there
it's
you
true.
Go. You are a sensitive little bitch.
Absolutely
I
not.
Can call you that, okay? And
absolutely.
I don't get
no,
suspended
no, no, no,
for that.
No, no,
I call
no.
You are. No, listen to me.
No.
No, I'm not saying it was all your fault. I think it was the fault of both Christian Fourier
right.
and Kirk Minahan. You both had involvement in it. And you didn't want to hear that night. What you wanted me to do is kiss your ass on the phone
no.
and say, Kirky,
no.
you were a nice
no.
boy today.
No. Well,
you
I would
did
say
nothing wrong.
Somebody
and Fourier
I consider a good
a
friend and a mentor to some point. And obviously, I've eclipsed you.
Say that again. I want
a mentor
to
some point. You've been eclipsed by me now.
Eclipse this.
Well, I mean,
how many years have you been doing this
you
now?
You do a fine job in midday.
Have you been
it's
number
great.
One in a single rating
midday,
book yet?
About to
single
be.
Rating book.
About to be.
Okay. You're about to be?
Yeah, my second book is a host of a show in Boston. Not bad.
Oh, please, you've been the third wheel for the longest time. Pushing John out the back
that's,
door.
That's the whole point.
No.
You're great now. When,
do me a favor. Win a few of these rating books and then come and talk to me about
Nancy
it.
When Nancy and Al Smith want to get a tuna sandwich for lunch, you guys are a great alternative to classic rock. But it's somebody who I consider to be a pretty damn good friend. Kind of, and I learned a little about the Ordway stabbing the back
oh,
to protect
please.
Himself.
I heard this. This is your lame way. Oh, I've heard it from other people. Listen, people,
no, I'm just saying.
People are going to say, people, I've been in the business.
I experienced it now.
You know the
I
business.
You know
the
so
business.
I know what
some
I'm
people,
with
some
now.
People love you, and some people are pissed at something you said or something you did over the years, and they
but,
say,
but
the
I
guy,
don't care.
The guy's a backstabber.
Well, it's actually a good friend.
You don't think people talk
actually,
about you out there?
I don't give a
okay.
shit. But it's a good friend. You know, it doesn't matter.
But I didn't do that night to you. I told you the Fourier was wrong, and I told you that you were wrong. I told you you were both wrong. And you don't want to accept that two people can be wrong in a confrontation that did not need to happen.
Fourier was wrong with Paul the other day. That was fucking ridiculous. I mean, the guy can't bartend on the weekends?
That was a little.
I mean, what the fuck? How much do you think he makes?
A little over the board.
Oh, and Fourier's getting mad at him because he's doing bartending on the weekends?
Yeah, well, Kristen cares about the show right now. He's, you know, and he went a little
and he's
overboard.
And by the way, Paul
but
is
you know,
right.
I let it play. It's and great radio,
of course.
Right?
And I, by the way, you're welcome for that.
Thanks, man.
Who walked you into that with Jet? The whole thing. I mean, that was playing the strings like crazy. And by the way, I went to WEI.com yesterday. Whenever I go to the most popular audio, it's usually four or five of ours and one of somebody else, the top five.
Right.
Number one was the 4A Paul fight. And number two was the wine line off that fight.
So
it
why is it in the business? That management people, and
I know it.
Management people are salespeople on the whole. Unfortunately, the programming people stop at program director, and they never get to the management position with actually running a station. Because I understand sales is a valuable tool. You got to be able to make money in the
They're
business.
Wonderful people.
But you also need to get ratings to be able to actually make money, or then you better have the best sales weasels in the world because they've got to extract something
well,
out of
What they'll
of
tell you,
Glenn,
like for me, I've experienced this, is I do a lot of reads now, obviously. You know, some might say I've, you know, sold my soul to do these reads. I would not. No, I'm in particular. But I have heard from people in this building that I'm difficult to sell. Maybe I am. I don't know. I mean, the ratings are great, but maybe...
Because of the controversy?
Well, when you Google my name, or because of the way I am. And maybe that's true. You know, maybe...
Well, that may be the way that it's being presented to. So I would look at it the other way, and I'd say... Okay, he's volatile, he's off the edge, and you got to worry about what he's going to say at any given point. but he's getting ratings, so there is an audience there. So if my job is to bring a client to an audience, you know, Minahan and Callahan are doing it. But I want to get back to the point you were bringing about internal stuff. I know that management hates internal stuff. They hate it when you talk about them. But I think the audience loves it.
Because everybody experiences it. What does everybody do at work? They bitch about what? The boss, coworkers, everything. So they love to hear the
drama. And they want to get behind the curtain.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the best thing they could do, if we could ever split it in stereo or whatever, is during the breaks play the commercials out of the left channel.
Well, I think that's the appeal, of Facebook Live, right? I think. Isn't that that's why they're talking about it so much? I don't think you should be Facebook Live-ing the show. I think that's dumb.
I think it's dumb, too. I think you're taking away the audience from what you're doing.
Somebody isn't, but during the commercials?
Yes.
Or like when you guys went out at the Super Bowl? Or like when Curtis figured out and he taped this for 4 seconds in Houston? That's valuable stuff.
You got 4 seconds out of it?
Well, not quite.
I had him over under a two.
What is your thoughts? We'll let you go here in a few minutes. I know you're taking some goddamn vacation tomorrow. You have no money, by the way. I mean, what are you doing? You're going to the Super Bowl? You're going to Bermuda, whatever you're doing? I mean, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I took my kids to the Super Bowl. You're going to do that someday.
I guess. Jesus. Did you stay in my room?
You're going to take Harry to the Super Bowl? No, I didn't stay in your room.
Good move.
They had to fumigate it, and I think, I don't know who went in that room.
It's one of those things like CSI, when they walk in, it's just all semen. They have those that week, think about it. Me alone, sick in Houston.
The purple lights on the sheets.
Jesus Christ.
No, I took my kids to the Super Bowl, great. Now, I think you're going to do that someday, because it's a great dad-son experience. It was the greatest weekend. We had an unbelievable time. My kid wanted to leave in the third quarter, but
stuck
back to the hotel. But
what a shitty city Houston is, though.
It's bad.
Oh, it's the worst. That's spread out. We'll be Minneapolis next year. What is your current thought of the state, A, of the station, B, the other station, and C, the thing everybody talked about? It went off like a fucking bomb in Houston, the merger. Start with the merger.
I've been through a lot of these things over the years. I worked for CBS Radio at one time before, because everybody eats everybody else up. We know what it is. It's CBS was disappointed in what was happening, the performance of CBS Radio, not the Sports Hub, don't get me wrong, but the whole operation of 124 stations or whatever, had trouble selling it to their stockholders, so they're going to spin off an IPO, and suddenly David Field comes in and gives them, and feels pretty smart, he comes up with this Morris Law and a way of getting around paying taxes for it, and then CBS stockholders can continue to own 72% of it, and all this. What it does for us,
what it means,
you have no leverage. Zero.
That's right.
So when you're stop it. Oh, no. Inheritance?
I'm doing okay. It's okay.
Okay. Right. I'm glad you're doing okay. So
Paid guy at the station.
Okay, so you what?
Highest paid guy at the station.
That you think.
I've seen.
Anything.
Oh, I've seen them all.
I know you say this, but you haven't seen anything. Glenn, you have no idea.
You should get a raise. You should at least equal Paul's salary. I think that would only be fair. Until they start a third sports station, which is going to happen.
I think that's going to happen.
I mean,
either Cumulus will do that if they can get a hold of a couple of these stations, and that may be because they're going to have to get rid of a couple stations. But let me ask you this.
My theory is John Henry's going to buy a station.
Why? Standalone station?
Maybe the Red Sox station.
Except the Red Sox are tied into Entercom right now, and Entercom, what are they going to do? They can make their money back.
You'll be sitting there waving that Red Sox pom-pom from 10 to 2 every
day.
Team looks great.
Yeah. Red Sox.
14-22. I like the way they look, though.
Why would you, and I keep on hearing this thrown out there, and I know Chad Finn likes to put together lineups, and this will be the lineup. I think it was with Adam Jones. Right.
That'd be a good show.
Yeah, that'd be good. So what... You own 28% of the men in the marketplace.
Right.
If you unload one of these two stations, do you really believe that that one station is going to inherit 28%?
No.
Matter of fact, the other station, if they maintain the same format, are going to take their 14% away from you, okay?
Right.
And so what ends up happening is you don't do that. Plus, you're controlling billing right now. You're the top two billing stations in the market. Now, the Department of Justice
could
come in and say, it's a monopoly here.
But I think
this
is actually where, and I hate to upset my friend Charlotte Wilder, I think it's actually where Trump helps, because I think Trump will be hands-off.
He's trying to change the FCC rules
now. And the DOJ, too. I think he's going to say, he's a business guy. I'm not even getting in the middle of this stuff. I'm not going to figure out what 27% or 31%.
Boy, I hope Tom Brady fights for us.
And Bob Kraft, too. Yep. But I have to admit, what I don't like a little bit is I do feel a little bit like the fight is over a little bit. Where if we do a 13 and they do an 11, or you guys do a 10 and they do a 9 or whatever, is manager just going to look at it, or you say it's a 19?
If I'm the management, I'm looking at, and I look at the Does
it feel like the war like it was 2 weeks ago? To me, it doesn't really.
No, and we all hugged, and we had Bertrand and I had trouble getting strapping our arms around
each
other.
I remember some of you said you guys should all take a big picture together, and I was looking at them like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why?
I didn't say that.
No, not you. Somebody at Radio Row. I forget who it was. And I was like, well, why?
Probably Zoe. She's a little lonely at times. It might have been. But no, right now, if you look at the ratings, we're getting in the demographic group that you want of males, we're getting the upper end 35 plus, and they are dominating those 20 something. So you're able to, and there are different sponsors that sell to the 20s to the 40s.
Sure.
People are in different places
than
all
14.
It is the perfect business complement with the two stations. I agree with you. I think it takes away some of the fight because now, when you shit all over Maz or somebody over there, everybody looks at it and says, okay,
you're joking now,
you're not really serious. Right. And I think it takes away leverage when you go for your big contract, when you try to get your seven-figure, you know,
those real days are over.
Sweetheart, those days are over. When you try to get your sweetheart deal of $110,000.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Fingers
you're going to go in there and they're going to say, where are you going there?
Can I get that $1,000 third place bonus,
please? The third station could be an ESPN station.
I know. The other thing is I was going to go over to the new R&B station, too. That was my other leverage. I thought there'd be a natural fit there.
You would be the natural
afternoon
fit.
Guy.
You would be the natural
fit. Breaking it down with it would be
perfect.
The gang. And,
I've listened to lots of that station. It's really built for like old white guys like me.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think it's built for the urban at all.
It is. I
grew up in Motown and loved that rock. I love rock. I love Motown. And right now, I listen to that stuff all the time. And other than John Legend, they're playing everything
like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And stuff, which I like.
Luther Vandross.
That's true.
That's what they're playing.
What do you think of the station right now?
I think a lot of strides. And I think bringing Dale back and bringing myself back has probably had a big impact. Mm-hmm. I think some guy in the morning that coupled up with Jerry Callahan might have had a small impact.
A little bit, minor.
In the success
minor.
Of it. I think it's a lot better. And
I think
that whole of experiment of going out of town and bringing guys in and taking veteran broadcasters. I'm not saying that veteran broadcasters can't be tweaked and you can't tweak with the people and go younger with the people around them. But just to throw them out, I just didn't think it worked, and they failed miserably at it. You know they lost millions of dollars doing it, and it did. I'm not sitting here gloating because it didn't help me.
Well,
it hurt me.
Financially, it
hurt me professionally.
I thought the station was doomed at times. I mean, I thought we were absolutely fucked, and we got a couple of breaks and managed to get through it. What do you think of your show now versus, say, you took over, 14, 15 months ago?
Yeah. I think we've made tremendous strides.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Tremendous strides.
Mm-hmm. Huh? You're
excuse
welcome,
me?
I say.
Welcome for what?
Well, I mean,
excuse me?
A big healthy lead-in.
No. I like working with ex-jocks because you can play with them a little bit.
They never disagree. But
right, and Lou, I think, has developed a kind of a nasty side to him right now that I think is good for talk radio.
Well, he didn't develop it. He had it all the time.
Yeah, it's finally coming out, but you know what happens. A lot of guys have nasty, Sean McDonough could have been the greatest sports talk show host in America because he has a nasty streak, but the image he presents out to the public is, I just want to be everybody's friend. John Gruden, I just want to be
your
friend.
But you've dealt with enough guys to know, usually the guys who are allegedly assholes are nice guys, and the guys who are professional nice guys are usually assholes.
I think you're right.
You know? I mean,
I think you're right.
Or not even assholes, but cynical.
Yeah.
Like, Dale is not an asshole, but Dale is a cynical fucking guy.
There's a dark side.
Oh, I mean.
There's a real.
Like you wouldn't believe.
And Icky Baluki dark side.
I want to see more of that sometimes.
I would love to see it because I think Dale could do it.
Oh, Dale's.
No question.
Could absolutely do it.
And I think, he certainly runs a really good show. But I there's a knack to some of this, but those guys in the midday, I mean, Fourier's come a long way. Because when I was listening to him, I always thought, geez, he's really goofy, and does he really know that much about football? And then I'd watch those preseason games, and he'd be the best guy on those Patriots preseason games.
Well, I mean, again, we're not talking about the greatest competition of all time.
Okay.
I mean,
are you ripping Matt Chatham right now?
No, well, yeah, he's calling games with Dan Roach. I mean, he's not working with Bob Costas in 1988.
But putting your personal feelings aside, mm-hmm. would you say that in the 14 months, he's improved dramatically?
No.
Okay. You don't think he's improved at all?
No.
Really?
Are you, no.
Come on. Professionally, you can't separate
yourself? Oh, I'll put myself aside, you're saying?
Push yourself aside.
Yes. No,
okay.
I don't. No, I do not.
I
just don't. What do you want me to say?
You're
Lou's great, you're great. What do you want me to say?
You're such a douche.
No, it's fine. Who praises the Midday Show more than me on the air?
You do. You're good about it.
No,
we use you in promos. You were nice enough to do the open to the Wine and Lunch.
Which I wanted to take off for a minute, but then I decided to allow...
Oh, you're going to play a power game?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but for a while, there were no... lead-ins to the show. There are no promos.
And the classy Kirk Minahan shoot.
The promos were scrapped. Now, if you know this, for a few months on the air, they were not running those promos.
Oh, please.
What?
The promos.
Well, I mean, the promos are awful anyway. Nobody. I don't care how good it is. Nobody's listening. I'm going to listen to that.
Don't you think, though, that they worry too much about promos, clocks,
yes.
stuff like that?
Well, I mean, Joey, I think Joey's actually done a good job.
He's
a good guy, and he cares.
He does care.
He fucking cares.
He does care.
I'm thrilled he got the job.
Right.
Without me, he wouldn't have it. But,
excuse me?
Without me, he wouldn't have the job.
Oh, I was pushing him, too. Why do you think my influence didn't help you?
It's nice that you did that.
Okay.
It's important that you did that.
All right.
But he'll come in and show me the clock stuff, and I'll be like, this might as well
be. But that's what they're taught. That's what
they're taught. Hebrew to me. I can't read it. You know, I mean, and he's probably right. Like, he says, you know, you got to hit 25, 40, 55. And I think, well, if I'm a listener, that means I know exactly when we're going to be a commercial, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's got to be some unpredictability. We get a little crazy with it.
I like uncomfortable. I like unpredictable. I think there's got to be some semblance of the clock. You can't be 20 minutes late.
No, I understand
but
that.
But a few minutes late.
But they get. But I mean, that's kind of what. This is the same thing that Kevin did, and it's sort of what these guys get.
That's what they're taught.
But I'll tell you, Joey. You know, Joey is the guy I mentioned that Sausage and Curtis tape. Joey played that. Joey was as dirty a fucking player as anybody as a producer. He loved gossip. He loved doing that shit. But it is funny to see it happen a little bit. When you go in that other office and you put that shirt and that tie on, that stuff isn't so cool anymore.
Yeah, because you're down the hallway and you're dealing with management.
Right.
You're dealing with salespeople.
Right.
And they're concerned about when their commercials are going to be here. He's playing a totally different role, different hat right now.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. But I think that he's learned an awful lot about programming because he was in the trenches.
No doubt.
So I think that's a plus for all of us.
How much longer are you going to be doing this for?
This podcast is about a minute and a half, something like that. Two minutes.
We're wrapping up.
How long am I going to do what?
This.
What am I going to do?
This midday job.
What am I going to do?
Well, you got the biggest.
I like doing it. I like doing this.
I know.
Is there
a
problem if I like doing something?
I'm just asking.
It's like everybody tries to push everybody out. It's almost like there's a.
You can do 10 more years if you want.
If I can stay healthy, and I'm pretty healthy right now, and I really want to do it. As long as somebody will have me,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to do it. I have no expiration date other than
when
they put
right
me
now?
In the dirt. 66.
Jesus Christ.
Old
fucking fossil.
Yeah.
You want to do this when you're 76?
Oh, I don't know about 76.
70?
I mean, that might. Well, I'm going to do some other things in life. I will never retire.
What else are you going to do?
Oh, I get a bunch of stuff I want to do.
What?
Oh, I'm involved in some businesses right now that I hope are going to come to.
What else are you going to do?
Excuse me?
Falconry? What else are you going to do?
Falconry is a underrated profession.
Well, you're a little real estate, right?
I got some stuff going on. Yeah, and the stuff I want to do. Could you ever retire? What would you do every
Jerry
day?
Jerry always
retire?
Says to me, he's like, you're full of shit, because I always have to retire when I'm 50.
You're full of shit.
He's like, this is your life. You're obsessed
with
it.
You're right. He's right. You don't even know yourself.
It's hard to get away from
it. You know, you could get away from the shrink if you actually sit down and listen to yourself.
You're right, though. It is hard to. It must have.
What do you do? I know more people.
It must have drove you crazy.
I know more people that retire, and then what do they do? They drop dead.
It's true.
You got to get something going on up here between the ears, don't you?
Weren't you pissed off when you were. What was the biggest story that you missed?
Oh, the marathon.
Oh, it was right
marathon
after you
bombing.
Left? Because we talked about it, right?
Well, the marathon bombing. It was.
And they pulled, and it wasn't Holly's fault, but they pulled Salk and Holly that day. Howie on.
They did.
They got the measured Howie car that day.
I don't think they were ever pull us. They
no,
wouldn't have pulled
no,
us that
no,
day.
No,
we
no.
were through 9/11. We did two weeks on the air. We've done all of that stuff.
That's by the way. That's where John
you guys were able to handle it. Jerry,
that's where John was
it.
Good too.
Yeah,
John could host that stuff. Like the day we came in at about 3:30 that Friday, the crazy Friday. John was good at that. You know, he could host that sort of stuff and do stuff like that. It's a great guy.
Can we get a copy of that little tape where he said something nice about Dino? I want to send it down to Dino.
You know what Dino's greatest quality was, honestly? And it's an underrated quality.
Shirts.
You have it too.
Best shirts. Good shirts.
Is he would sell a joke for you. You know, he would fucking laugh. Even we hated each other. We wouldn't talk. You would tell a joke, not even a great one. He would fucking sell the shit out of it. That's valuable.
That is valuable.
You know, when you're in a room, you know, laughter, even if it's not, it's valuable.
So when he did that, did you know he hated you?
Yeah, oh, it was.
So
it
he's
was,
laughing at you, and you're sitting there saying,
well, we would go on the air.
Is he laughing with me
so
or
many
at
people
me?
Would say to me, oh, you guys don't get along. It doesn't seem like that on the air. I think you probably could understand it because you knew us.
I could feel it.
But there are times where we would be laughing and joking on the air, legitimately having a good time. Then the light would go off, and it would be like,
how do you do that?
I don't know. Just, you know.
6 months?
Yeah, we had a big fight over something, but it was one of those things where it was about 40 other things, but you just finally get into a big fight. And I kind of thought, okay, we had the big fight, now we can figure out the other stuff, but that was it. I mean, we never spoke again ever off the air other than, you know.
So when he left, you never had a conversation with him?
We never had a goodbye conversation.
I'm sorry it didn't work?
No,
you never had that?
No, he came in and did the Jimmy Fund with us for a couple of days.
And you never talked about it?
Super icy. That was on both ends. I mean, I was out with Doug Lane at the parking lot one day, and Doug was only talking for about 2.5-3 hours when John rolled in, and walked right up to me about a foot away, and then turned to Doug and said, "Hey, Doug," and kept walking. This is right before the Jimmy Fund. It was the Jimmy Fund meeting. I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a good couple of days."
So, what will you do in Florida next week when Dino comes up to your little card table as you're doing your little broadcast down there, and walks up to you, and because he might say something to Jerry and it says something to you, what are you going to say?
So you think? So, I understand there's a perception out there. You think he and Jerry get along?
No.
I mean, it's the same exact relationship. I would say
I know all of the
right.
Cause like you.
You're free to say whatever you want. Yeah. But John can. I want John to come on for a segment or two. Why not? But the problem is, John is.
Will you be honest with him?
Well, I will be. But John is sort of in this old traditional bright. Like, he's not going to do that. He's just not going to do it. He's going to say everything's. You saw the interview with Maria Stefanos, right?
Yes.
I mean, did you.
Complicated.
Did you sense that when he was saying was that the reason he left? No. Was he happy? No. Just tired of getting up early.
So why
in the
do
morning.
You why do you assume earlier in this conversation you said it
I
wasn't
was being
you?
Sarcastic.
It was you. Oh,
I was being sarcastic.
Okay. See, I don't know. When you're sarcastic.
I know how old. I know you're 76 now.
Yeah. It's you
gotta keep up with sarcasm. No, John had a good run though. Fucking great run.
Great run.
20 years?
A great run.
I'm on the radio, 40 years in the market.
Great run. And John had difficulty with it right out of the gate because he was a TV guy.
Right.
He came in here and he wanted to raise the bar.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Raise the bar.
That's what Sean wanted to do.
Right. Right. And that was the real.
Were you ever worried about competition problem. Like that or no?
No, I was worried about the sports set when it came on the air. That's bullshit, by the way, that, you know, one of our management people, Julie Kahn, came out and said, oh, they're not a competition for us. We weren't feeling that, and the management wasn't saying that behind closed doors, because you're looking at an FM station, and we're stuck on 8:50 a.m.
I know.
That was not the feeling internally, and it's been perceived that way, but that was not accurate, no.
Yeah. And they when I heard Touch and Rich early, and I thought they were pretty good at the start.
Yep.
And Felger Mazza, this is the real deal.
I mean, knew the talent that was going over there,
which was, you know, a factor, obviously.
Well, and then you revived his career, and then you destroyed him. Totally destroyed.
Do you have a problem with us playing that Tangway sound like Lou did?
No, I don't. I can understand how
Howard Stern do it.
Probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, here you go now.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're a hero.
Of course he is.
So you have a checkbox where you check off.
If some guy freaked out
just like
walked out,
I did what
would Stern tape him?
Yes, he right. would. Yes. And the thing with Tangway, I can understand where Tangway would be pissed off.
He wants it both ways, though.
Well, I thought it was pretty crazy because he had told me, and I know he told you that day it was the best day of radio he's ever had or something like that.
A segment before.
He told me the previous week before that how much he was enjoying the show and he was hoping that he could do it more often.
I think, honestly, it turned out, as much as I like Gary and I wish he was doing a show with us a week, for me, and you might disagree, I think this system's the best way. I think it's the best way to do it.
I told you that right from the get-go when you were talking to me and you wouldn't listen to me. I said, you and Jerry can do the show, because the one thing you have not talked about in this program is they actually sat all three of us down and they wanted me to do the show.
Right.
With you two guys.
Yes, which I have to admit, I will tell you this. I wanted a show with you in the afternoons would have been fine. I think it would have been hard for me to do a show with you and Jerry. That's
two loud, dominant
personalities, I am one as well.
Yes.
So I think, like, in a weird, like, if you had been a guy, like, when the show fizzles and you get fired, you can come in and be on with us once a week. That'd be great. You can do the flashes.
I'm not coming in with you once a week.
If Ken Lair's not feeling well, you can do the flashes for Ken
I'm
that
not
day.
Coming in. I agree with you that we're all three alpha dogs.
And we had fun together.
Yes, we did. And the shows that we did.
And, by the way, I don't look for credit much.
You don't want?
But Jerry and I did finagle behind the scenes to get you back here the first time.
You did.
Yes.
There was no question that you guys were working it. I will say this. Phil Zachary, from the first weeks he was here, was trying to get me back. And
but
as I told you, they offered me
there was a Graham issue,
an
though.
Opportunity. Well, it was Graham, and I think it was corporate. I think it was David Field. I think it was Wheezy Cream. I think it's very difficult when you make a move and it doesn't work to go out and admit that you screwed up. It's easier sometimes to just move along and hope that
But we had
you're
fun.
Right.
You did a bunch of shows with us when Dino was in rehab.
And Graham knew nothing about it. I remember if I did one show, I came in and Graham was bullshit.
He called out that day. He didn't come in.
He was bullshit because Phil Zachary called me to come in and do the show.
Right.
And they didn't even tell the program. Yeah, I felt bad for Graham.
Kevin's a good guy, too.
Yeah, I like Kevin as a guy. I thought he was a good guy.
He got kind of dicked over on that one.
I felt bad because I said, so we got off to a bad start because he thought.
But you guys wound up being okay at the end.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
But we had fun.
But we almost did that show together because they wanted the three of us to do the show.
I heard the tape of you and Lou and Christian talking about it.
Oh, that's right. You stole that.
Right. I heard that.
That was off the record. And
well,
my attorney,
on the record.
You'll see some paperwork. It'll be showing up. You won't have any problems. Certified mail.
Your attorney, I'm guessing, is probably provided by the state at this point, given your current financial situation.
Okay, so I'm getting a little assistance. Is there anything wrong with assistance?
Did you want to do that show?
your show with you guys? I did, but the hours, I didn't like the hours. The time I was waking up, the greatest thing about it was the commute. The worst thing about midday is the commute.
Right.
I like doing midday because of the hours, the commute.
Yeah, but your commute sucks, right?
The commute sucks.
How long does it take you to get in?
It can take anywhere from an hour to an hour and 45, maybe 2 hours. I've done it 2 hours some days. Yeah, but it was so easy. I could do it in 40 minutes in morning drive.
It wears you out.
But I agree with you. I think that the three of us would be just too much noise.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had fun.
And I said to you when we were talking about this, when you deigned to actually speak to me, mm-hmm. that I said the two of you can handle the show and just.
Well, I didn't think that was it. I thought we could too. That was never an issue. I think that was more. Listen, if we listened to management throughout this process, it would either be Kirk Callahan and Salisbury, or Kirk
that would have
Callahan
been a good show, by the way.
Danielle from AF.
You would have done you know, dick pics and stuff.
But like, I mean, we've been lucky because we also part of the reason you know. When John left, it was good timing for him to leave in September. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that's a great first book to have.
That was a good
plan. Fall book, Trump.
Good plan.
Patriots.
On your
behalf. No, but I'm saying, I mean, you know, if you do it now, where, let's be honest, February, March, April is a little bit of the dead zone, then at least we're able to say, well, look at 13s, 14s, 12s, it's working. And I think they've stayed out of the way.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and as you know, like, Alex Reamer, for example, isn't well known, but for us, he works. Maybe he wouldn't work somewhere else.
He worked with me for a year.
Yeah, well, you never talked about him, you know. Sipping vodka out of that guy's assholes.
You know who hated Alex Reamer on my show every day?
Pete Shepard?
Callahan.
He did? Oh, he did. Yeah. That's right. He did.
Hated him.
I don't know. Callahan.
I would get calls from Callahan, and Callahan would say, that fucking Alex Reamer, why do you have him on the air? I said, because he's young, and I'm trying to get young people because I'm dealing right now with digital world, and the kid's got balls. He's willing to go out there and say stuff and argue.
God, people hate him.
Yeah, but he's
great.
Willing to argue. I disagree with 90% of the stuff he says on the air, but at least he's willing to say it.
Who are we using that we should use?
Who else what?
Who are we not using that we should use?
Oh, I we weren't using that many people.
No, but there's somebody. I'm saying
Greg Murphy. We had Pete.
I'm saying,
you mean outside?
Yeah, somebody we're missing?
Pete Abraham.
No, I like Pete.
I think Pete would be a guy that would, and he's a real liberal.
Yes.
You can tell by his tweeting lately. You can tell by it.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a real foe for Jerry.
That'd be interesting.
You think? And he would also defend the Red Sox when you guys want to slam him.
When we get bought up by the Red Sox?
Exactly. Think about that.
I think we've accomplished nothing here.
I have no more questions for you, Kirk. I'm done with you.
Yeah,
I have no more.
You got nothing else?
Briefs.
So you're gone for the week, right?
I'm gone.
For a week.
I'm going out of the country.
Out of the country.
Out of the country.
And then back.
And then I'm coming back in the country.
It's a good week to be gone, man. I'm envious.
So we buddies again?
No, I mean, it's what... Listen.
No,
buddies? I have admiration for you. I have love for you. But you have a clear line in the sand, which I respect. You chose your show over my friendship.
I'll take respect.
Right? I mean, would you say...
You can hate me as long as you respect me.
I don't hate you, but
you...
What have I said negatively about you on the air?
Oh, nothing. I mean, everybody knows what you do as a shtick, and it's good. I like your shtick.
I don't think everybody
your
knows
shtick
that.
Your shtick works. A big what?
Why, people say that to you about me? What do they say?
Oh, I've had people come up to me, and you'll say something about people say, and then, man, I hate his ass. He sucks.
Say, yes, he's an asshole.
I do. And then I follow it up by saying, hey, they're getting ratings, and, I said, do you listen to the show? And they say, yeah, I listen to the show. You listen so that he can throw the hatred your way. And they said, yeah. That's what it's all about.
Fine.
50% of the people will like you. 50% of the people will hate you. When you have 90 and 10,
you're in trouble.
You got no show.
Is this weight loss going to continue?
It has to continue. I have to get down to my goal weight.
Well, you're also getting paid for it, right? You're doing research.
Yeah, I'm getting paid, and plus I look like a total asshole. If I do this for 6 months and I'm a big fat shit, does that work?
What's the most weight you ever lost? What was your lowest in like last 20 years?
Probably in the 195 range.
What are you at now?
Right now I'm about 220.
And you're 4'8", right?
What's that?
You're 4'8". So that's
4'9". Stop.
I'm sorry.
Stop.
We're getting older now. I think you're
I wear the heels and the lifts.
So what's the goal weight?
I'm 5'7". Goal weight's about 180 based on my muscle tone. They base you on your muscle tone. I got muscles.
How's your muscle tone?
I will kick your ass.
Is it good?
When I get down to 180, I will kick your ass.
When you get down to 180, you're coming back here. We'll do this again.
We'll do it again?
I'm going to allow you a second appearance. So you're like... Terry Garr in the old Letterman show. You can come by anytime you want.
Oh, that was good, Terry Garr.
I want to have Foray on.
She went down.
I want to have Foray on in here.
Why don't you ask him?
He wouldn't do it. He would not.
No, you wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't. No, I would do it. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it.
You don't think so?
He would not do it.
Why not?
No, he said to me today he wouldn't do it. He said, you're doing...
On the air?
Minahan's... Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you're doing Minahan's podcast?
I heard I was going to text you, actually. I liked that first. I didn't get to listen to much of the rest of the show. The first segment today was Foray saying that he doesn't like Tom Brady, the TB12 thing.
Correct.
He should have been harder on that, though. Should, you know, that would have been, that's a good, a former player ripping the TB12 thing, I thought was pretty good.
Well, why don't you offer to tutor him in the when you're off work and he's off work and you could help him build a radio career? Because you're a superstar now.
Why wouldn't he do it?
Huh? Why didn't he do it?
No, why wouldn't he do the podcast? The podcast. I don't give a shit about your show.
Oh, because I think there's some bad feelings with what happened in the hallway that you and I talked about.
But I like, but
you don't like him.
No, but no. I dislike him. I like the idea of bringing that into a podcast, though.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think he feels differently. You and I can sit here and we can talk about shit in a podcast because we can get stuff out the table.
Lou hates me now.
Because I hate to say it, this is the stuff you and I talk about when we're on the phone all the time.
But even Lou hates me now. So even he wants to.
Plus then the bad things you say about Callahan and all that other stuff. Phony conservative right wing.
Total liberal
jackass.
In real life behind the scenes, Callahan.
And stuff that you say.
But Callahan gay.
It's different. Some people can't do it. Some people, and I don't think Christian can do that.
Be a good podcast.
It would be a good podcast.
I mean, if he was open about it and stuff like that.
Be a good podcast.
Yeah.
And so his remembrance would probably be more vivid than yours.
Why do you say that? Vivid?
Yeah, he would remember stuff better than you did of the incident.
Well, I don't think that's true. Why would he have a better memory of it than I would? I was there, too.
Okay.
I don't have CTE.
Well, you got something.
I think that might be a factor. All right, go lose your weight, go on vacation, come back and do this again. Get out of here.
I love you.
No, leave me alone.
I love you.
Go away. All right, thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.